Girl Talk, a Shine special with the Shona Project and Make Sense.
So we have a very special episode of Girl Talk right now because we have someone very special in studio with us. Soleil!
Hey!
Hey girl, and welcome back to Beat Headquarters.
Thank you.
Now, you are now an honorary girl talker.
Yes, I love that. I love that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You can come anytime.
And yeah, I love having the chats anyway. You know, girl talk when you're with your girls, just having an honest conversation. Hair down.
Exactly.
You know, so that's what I love doing. So well, I'm happy to be here.
Prepare yourself.
Yeah.
Now, you have catapulted to next level stardom in the Irish music scene. You really have. So inspirational to so many young girls out there. But tell me this, how is it being, say, a young black woman with all this kind of power now moving forward in the Irish music industry? Is it intimidating? Because I feel like that's a big title to carry.
I mean, I honestly, for me, I never kind of viewed it as that at the start, you know. And I had, you know, obviously when it comes to the music scene and stuff, you know, there was the likes of Samantha Mumba that I had, you know, looked up to growing up. And I remember she had this song out called Lately when I was I think I was like 7 or 8 when that came out. And I remember specifically always singing that song because, oh my gosh, like, she talks like me, she has the same accent as me, and she's a beautiful black woman doing music, and that's who I'd love to kind of be like when I grow up. Mm. So there was already her there for me to kind of be like, okay, like, I want to do what she has done. And I think now doing music and being kind of working my way up to a successful career. Mm. It's mad seeing how other young black Irish women look up to me and they're like, girl, like, you're killing it. And like, we want, and I'm just like, really me? Like, I'm still like, I'm still trying to figure this out. So it is an honor and it is hard, of course, but I don't think anything that is, easy that comes too easy isn't like, you know, it's never going to be easy, exactly.
It really
won't. So, you know, for you to become successful and for you to be a great person, it always takes hard work and there's going to be a lot of downs, but the ups always kind of outpower it anyway. So,
were you always that kind of person though, when you talk about hard work? Because I think that's always a thing, and especially in this day and age where we look at people who, you know, go on reality TV shows like The X Factor and expect instant fame. Yeah. They expect that overnight they're suddenly going to have made it. Whereas for most people, it's work, it's a graft. You've got to put in like so much. And that's, I think that's either in you or it isn't.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I've always been kind of like, I'm the type to work well under pressure.
Yeah.
And I think it's just to do with like, I'm always like, okay, like, this has to get done. And I love perfection in a way, but nothing can ever be perfect, but just kind of how I'd want to, like, would I enjoy coming to my show as an audience, like, would I, like, I kind of think that way every time. I'm like, if I came to the show, would I walk out and be like, yo, that was sick, you know? So, and that kind of plays a part into the hard work I put in into my music as well. I just want to be great and I have big dreams and I have these, and it's like this mad desire. And today, earlier on, I tweeted, I was like, you know what, I want to play at the Tree Arena, you know, and because I feel like I can do that and I believe that I can. And, you know, I also have a great team around me who helped me. And look, I said this earlier today, I was like, you can never get somewhere without having a team of people who support you and who are literally riding for you, because I wouldn't be able to do what I've done without the people around me. Mm. And once you kind of accept that that's how it is, then you will be successful.
That's such a great way of looking at it, because I know some people, well, back in the day, the music industry used to be a lot different and you used to hear, you know, record producers or this and that and the other kind of take advantage of young upcoming artists. Mm. So it's good to see that that kind of has shifted and you're saying there's a stable kind of base for you. Do you feel lucky in a sense, though, that you've kind of found that? Because, you know, some people search for that kind of team that will be with them and it doesn't really happen. So in a sense, you're kind of, you've broken the mold in a way.
I definitely feel lucky. I mean, I started music as soon as I graduated from uni. So it was like that year I graduated, we like dropped the track, you know. So, and I had time to, I kind of essentially went through a mini artist development because I had been with them prior to me graduating, prior to me ever releasing anything, I was coming to the studio trying to find myself, who I am as an artist. And believe you me, there's some tracks there that I'm like, should never come out, you know, should just stay in the studio, in that computer, and should never ever see the light of day. But I'm glad I went through that experience, and I'm glad the guys in Diffusion Lab gave me that space to kind of have, like, figure out who I am as an artist. Yeah. And being an artist, I think a lot of people forget that you are an artist, but it is you. It is who you are. Like, it's, I'm a person in that. So you, in finding who you are as an artist, you also find who you are as a person and who you are as a human being. So I'm glad I went through that experience. So having that there as a base kind of gave me confidence as well into, like, the kind of sound I want to do. If I want to be crazy on stage, I can be crazy on stage. And, you know, I'm not, like, insecure or anything. Like, I think I feel the least insecure when I'm on stage.
That is amazing.
Like, I'm very, like, not who I am. And then when I come off stage, I'm like, was that good? Like,
you hear that all the time from artists. Like, Beyonce has Sasha Fierce.
Yeah.
So she comes out and that's her stage persona. She has said she doesn't remember some of her performances because Sasha takes over. And when she comes off stage and she's back to Beyonce. Yeah. I always think that must be such an out-of-body experience. Mm. And in some ways, I kind of can relate in a sense. When I go up and do speeches and stuff, I'm like, oh my God, that was such a blur.
Because you can't do it. Like, it's much easier to put on a front and almost play a role. And I'm not saying you're playing a role, but, like, you kind of go into a zone where where it takes over and you're like, okay, this is the other side of me and I'm going to unleash it
100%. And I mean, Soleil is that for me, you know. It's like, you know, I didn't grow up being Soleil, you know. I was just Samantha from Balbriggan, went to school, like, very shy. I'm an introvert and very, like, just want to be by myself or whatever. But when I go on stage and I'm, you know, and I think a lot of people might take it weird. It's like, okay, so are you being fake? You know, are you being,
no!
You know, but it's like one of those things where it's like, it's weird. It's like, you just kind of switch on when you're, and it's, it kind of feeds your, I don't know, like, like, you kind of, exactly.
And your energy. But do you ever have that moment before you're going on stage where you go, oh my God, can I do this? Like,
oh,
does it feel like that? Like, that feeling, I want to get sick. I want to get sick. Why do I want to be a singer?
Let me tell you. Every time before a gig, on the day of the show, I'd get text messages like, oh, are you excited about today? Are you nervous? I'm like, yeah, I'm grand. Like, it's I never feel anyhow until they're like, I hear the intro of, like, like the band's doing the intro and they're like, right, you have 30 seconds. And all of a sudden I'm like, wait, I don't think I actually want to do this. Can we, like, cancel? Like, I feel like running away, but it's weird how you just still go out and do it. And that's the beauty of having a passion, because when you're passionate about something, you are scared half the time and people don't realize that you're actually freaking out.
Oh my gosh.
Like, and I think people deal with little bits of anxiety in everything that they do.
Differently.
You know, even like, even doing interviews, like, you can be a journalist that you do it all the time, but there's this, like, when you get that first question out, all of a sudden you're grand.
You're relaxed.
First, and it's so weird, but I think it's because you have a passion of something, the fear actually feeds you and pushes you to, like, still go ahead and do it.
That's incredible.
Crazy.
That's so something you learn throughout your life. And you started learning that from, say, 17. And now you are, what age are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I am 24.
You're 24 and you feel like you've got this all figured out. I know exactly who I am. I have found my persona. I know how to separate me from her. Like, honestly, some people are in their 40s and still don't know how to do that. So fair play to you. And Diffusion Lab has obviously honed in your talents and worked on it that it's come out beautifully. But in terms of, say, Love Island and that broadcast, I saw your Instagram posts and I almost felt like we were living through it with you. Social media allows us to kind of experience things with our stars, you know, and we feel like we're on the same level as you. We get it, girl. Oh my God. We're just as nervous for you. But do you feel that outpouring of support from your fans? Do you actually feel that people, you know, are rooting for you and that they want you to succeed?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, just DMs and tweets and, like, you know, direct messages and stuff like that. I think I have a weird kind of reaction to it sometimes because I'm like, really? You know? Because you usually, when you first start, it's usually your mates and then, like, your mom.
Always your mom.
Do you know what I mean? Like, who are like, oh yeah, well done, or this song is good or whatever. But then when you have, like, people who initially are strangers, like, you don't know, like, who they are, support you. It's like a weird kind of, like a, in a good way, it's like, wow, really? Like, you really cared that much about me that you took the time to write a message and say congratulations, or like, I'm super excited for you. So throughout that whole, like, even just the whole year has been crazy for me. A lot of mad things, great things have happened to me. So I've had that experience a lot throughout the year where it's like, oh my God, we love you and this is so cool. It's just mad. So yeah, I think it's one of those things where it took me a while to kind of just accept that this is how it is now, you know? So
that comes in twofold as well. Because then, yes, you have the people that are supporting you. And then you have also the people that are supporting you, but almost think they know you and know your life just because you put stuff out there. Do you feel the pressure of that sometimes, that you now have to be this
perfect
kind of... and live that life where... Because you have all these young girls now looking up to you. Do you feel the pressure of that?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think even in like the normal kind of sense of living, you feel pressure anyway. So then when you're in, for me personally, I don't feel like it's like I'm in like this mad public eye where everybody's looking at me and there's like paparazzi, because I don't live that life yet. I'm still just a regular girl or whatever, but it's just a lot more people know me and know my songs and stuff. And there is pressure in the sense that, like, being a woman already, we go through that feeling of, oh my God, my eyebrows don't look nice, I have to get it done. Like, oh, are my lashes done? Is my foundation matching? Like that stress. And I imagine that stress, and then having to, whenever you post a picture, you're like, you stare at it for ages, and then all of a sudden the picture that you thought was nice doesn't look nice anymore.
Yeah, you
start pinpointing everything that's wrong with it.
That could not be any more relatable.
Yeah.
And I think everybody goes through it. The difference is we don't talk about those things.
Yeah.
We kind of just put out what we think is perfect and hope that we get the likes in return to get the validation. Mm-hmm. But we don't actually talk about the struggle that we go through to put the picture up in the first place.
So you must have it 10 times. Yeah.
Yeah, and then like you're like, oh, I have to post like a few times, you know, so people know that I'm active on social media. So it's that pressure as well, because now social media is like, you know, people use it for business.
Yeah.
And it's initially turning into a CV now, you know, people, you post your achievements on your social media so that whoever, like whatever opportunity you can get, like businesses or whatever, will initially just be like, oh, let's go on your Instagram and check. So it's like, now you have to like make sure that you post whatever you've achieved, or whenever you post a picture of yourself in an outfit, you're like, oh, are my legs, like, did I shave my legs this week? Like, is it like, should I wear a skirt? No, I didn't shave my legs, so I can't wear this. It's like, that is pressure, but I think one of the beauty of it is just having the right people around you who uplift you and make sure you have your person, you know, have your personal person. It doesn't have to be a guy. It doesn't have to be, you have to be in relationship with this person, but just, you know, have your people that you can go to when you're feeling that pressure, or you're feeling that anxiety, or you're feeling down, that can uplift you. Or even if you don't have people, do something that makes you feel good. So go and get your nails done, go and watch a movie, go shopping, go play football, go and do something that releases that anxiety or that pressure, and you'll be all right. I feel works, but it's easier said than done. But
but
you're,
I think
so grounded.
It makes so much sense, and I think we get so caught up in it, and I think it's really hard not to. But as you say, it's about who you surround yourself with and the things that you do to try and keep it at bay, because like, as much as social media is a part of all our lives, it's not the be all and end all. It's not.
No.
And I think we can get so kind of hung up
and
on
what
it.
Like, do you know the whole Instagram taking off the likes thing?
Yes.
Like, I initially was like, oh, it's weird. But then I'm kind of like, actually, yeah, like, it's actually the best thing ever. Like,
the best thing.
Because I think people think that you, as the person posting the picture, wants to see, oh, how many people have liked my picture. But I think the issue actually is yourself, because you will look at the likes yourself and be like, oh, I didn't get enough likes.
Yeah.
It's not actually the worry of what are people going to say that I only got 50 likes on this. It's more like, oh, why did I get 50 likes on that? Or why did I get 20? Or why did I only get 100? Like, there's some people that are like, why did I get 150? I'm like, girl, I want to get 150 likes. Like,
I'm struggling to get 10.
Did you get me?
I think it takes away that competition element.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's suddenly like, okay, you put up a picture, and if people like it, great. If they don't, you just get on with life. Yeah.
But it's actually strange how adaptable we actually are.
Yes.
I had a friend who was on holidays, and obviously it's being trialled in Ireland. It's working really well. I haven't seen any negatives online. And she went abroad. She went to Spain, I think, or something. And her Instagram went back to how it was. And she could see the likes. And she said for the first time when she opened it and she saw the number, you know, 100 likes or whatever, she said her heart kind of dropped because for right there and then in front of her, she was a number again. So only 100 people care about me, even though 100 is a lot. But, you know, to someone who is probably with friends that have 1,000 likes or whatever, she's constantly comparing herself. And instantly that self-doubt went back the minute she saw that number.
Exactly.
And I just thought, look how powerful just that tiny little thing is and how quickly we can change and adapt. So why aren't we doing more things like this?
Exactly.
You know, Facebook, change it up. We're going on a whole lot of rant here. I could be here all day. But you seem to be so grounded and seem to have such good, strong morals and values. Who do you look up to, and how did that come about?
I think definitely my mom, because she's so resilient. I mean, we've had some mad... I think everybody has a story. I think everybody has had a crazy experience in their life. So I'd never say, oh, this story is bigger than that or whatever. But I think when you see firsthand someone who, you know, we've experienced crazy things in our lives and they're still standing and they're still able to joke around and just like being a single mother to three girls, you know, on her own.
Yeah.
And just like, she's such a badass, you know, and I just love my mom and everything about her, from her sense of style to just how like she views life. I think it's so inspiring. And I know everyone's like, that's so cliche, like your mom, but I think, that is the first-hand experience I've had of a badass woman. So definitely my mom. And then when it comes to like music and stuff, I would definitely say my girl Rihanna.
Oh, you know, Riri.
I love me some Riri. I love Rihanna. Everything about her. I just feel like she's just such a badass, you know, from music to fashion to what she stands for. Like, you know, she stands for something. She's like, I stand for something and I don't care who disagrees with me. It is what it is. And I think that, you know, having her to look up to as well when I was growing up and doing music, I think it played a part in who I wanted to, how I wanted to be as an artist as well. And just kind of like, if I'm doing an interview, just be you. And like, even if you say something that people disagree with, it is what it is. But I would never talk down on people. I would never be disrespectful. And as long as I'm not doing those things, I'm good. You know?
That's so, so powerful. Because I think sometimes we do fear speaking our minds because we fear the judgment we might get. But it's good to know, you know, I always think that as well. Once you're not offending anybody and you're not hurting people, then that's the main thing. And the Irish music scene has changed so much. Do you feel you've played a key role in that? Go on, girl, be proud of yourself.
Say yes.
Kind of.
Yay. Do you know what, there is something wonderful and lovely, and we always say this on Girl Talk, about women that big themselves up and big each other up. And I feel like you're such a girl's girl as well, so as much as you can say that about yourself, I'm sure you'd say that about your peers.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, there's so many and I think for me it's like, I'm not the only one doing it.
You're not, but you're the only one doing it your way, you know? And
exactly. That's a very great point you made, because everybody else is doing it their own way too, you know? So I think they should be everybody should be celebrated, because at the end of the day, we are repping Ireland. And that's the one thing that we all have in common. Like, we're all repping Ireland. And if somebody makes it big and they're repping for the country, then we're all winning that kind of way. So there's definitely... The girls are killing it. You know, I'm repping for the girls at all times.
I love it.
You know, all the girls in music, from the likes of Leisha, Amy, to some people in underground, like Sully Music. She's amazing. Funny story about her. I was at the bus stop getting the bus home, and she literally came up to me and was like, oh my God, Sully, you're amazing. And I was like, oh my God, hi. How are you? Never met her before, and we had such a great conversation. And she was like, I do music too. And I never actually got around to texting her back to say I listen to your music. But she's amazing. There's Unique, there's Erica Cody, there's even like the likes of Ruth Ann, who is amazing. Mm-hmm. She is such a, like, she's pushing for Irish women in music. And every time she's doing an interview, she's always talking highly of us. So I'm really respect her for that, and she's amazing. There's just so many. There's NC Gray, there's There's so many. Yeah. There's so many. So it's a great time to be an Irish woman in music. We are already doing the work as the musicians, you know, female musicians. I think now when it comes to festival lineups and stuff like that, they need to just have a little bit more women on on the festival.
2020 could be the year that it all changes and the women take over.
But I feel like now that there is more, and I'm not saying there wasn't quality before, but now with social media we can see that quality.
Yeah.
So we can actually see that, you know, those artists are out there. We can our fans.
We're all one.
Your fans can actually see you and root for you and say we want to see you on stage, as opposed to, you know, sending out demos and doing it how we used to. It didn't really work. Yeah. Now you have more of a voice, I think.
We do. And I think we should just be fearless.
Yeah.
Mm. And don't be afraid to say how you feel about how it is, because it's some, you know, sometimes it isn't. Not sometimes. It isn't where I feel it should be and where it can go.
Yeah.
I feel like the Irish music industry, when it comes to our sound, it isn't like the work is being done now. Mm-hmm. But I think there could be more, you know, that should be done to push us to international kind of success. And it isn't there yet. But I think, you know, the great thing is it is being worked on. You know, there's the likes of District Magazine who are amazing at, like, you know, promoting hip hop and speaking positively of that, and just other radio shows and even like media in general, like, is on it. So I think we're on the right track. So I'm
excellent.
Excited.
Yeah. I think you can feel it and you can see it. Even when we're playing a song, we're like, oh, the airwaves are changing.
Yeah, there's something really exciting about it. And we say this all the time. There's something really exciting about Irish music, and it's amazing that we can feel that. And like the likes of you are representing kind of female artists. It's incredible.
And Shona, you've got a quick fire round for our Soleil here.
I'm ready.
Paige is on fire.
Don't say that.
No, you'll be fine.
Okay. Don't think about it too much.
Okay.
Just fire those answers at us, and whatever comes out, we will judge you on. No, I'm only joking.
I was like, no!
All right, first up, favorite film and why?
Oh.
Her eyes are going so wide right now.
Say what you want to say now.
I'm
going to
say The Secret Life of Bees.
Oh, brilliant film.
Yeah, I've watched that movie like 100 times and I always cry at this exact same scene.
Okay.
Because that was the first movie that I'd seen Alicia Keys in, and she was my favorite artist growing up as well. So I would say The Secret Life of Bees.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Good answer. Go-to snack. Don't lie. Whatever it is. Go to snack.
I'm already laughing because
you've got
we're preparing ourselves.
Is it
now.
Awful? Is it
no, it's actually not. I would say there's two things that I like eat like together, and it's a bit weird.
Yeah, go for it.
So Oreo cookie.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds all right.
Good.
And watermelons.
And watermelons. Ooh. Okay.
It's a weird combo, but it's nice.
Can I ask you though, like okay.
Oh, I'm not eating it. Like, I'm not putting the watermelon on top of it.
A sandwich.
No. It's there, and then the watermelon has to be there on the side. It's weird.
You have like an Oreo, and then is the Oreo still in your mouth? And then you have a bit of watermelon.
Oh no, I finish the Oreo, drink water, and then eat the watermelon.
But you just like the taste of the watermelon going in after the Oreo.
It's weird. And I think it's to do with cravings when it's like that time of the month.
Oh yeah.
Because you know. You've been eating some weird stuff, like when you're like, it's that time of the month, you're like, I never eat this, but why do I like it today?
I'm not gonna lie to you, I'm not gonna try it.
I feel like I want to now. I want to do the both. I want to make a like Oreo watermelon sandwich.
It's like the conversation of dipping a chip in
ice cream. I love that.
I think that's weird.
Well, you see, that's salty and sweet. Yeah. That works.
On that note, cheese and onion crisps and a 99 are my go to thing, so I shouldn't judge. But I have to tell you, like, Trish has like a little bit of a funny thing when it comes to food. I hope you don't mind me giving this away.
Ah, look, the whole world knows at this stage.
it causes waiters like the most like unbelievable distress and panic. They can't get their head around it. When we go to a restaurant, Trish likes to order her dessert for her dessert to come first, and then
I don't think it's
a life hack.
I just feel like get to the good bit straight away. Yeah, like I don't want to wait for
that's
it.
That's a life hack.
Like
right
get
there.
The boring stuff that can come last. Let's go home and sleep on that. But like, give me the sweets, and that's what I love.
So then after it, what are you?
She eats her main course.
Yeah,
after.
My main course.
And then that's it. You're done.
And then I have my like glass of wine or you know whatever to wash it down.
Okay, so that's kind of the dessert.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Just back and people look at me like I have 10 heads and I'm like, it's the same meal. Like, it's grand. It's just give me what I want first.
It's like
champagne.
It upsets them. I don't know if I can do that. I mean, it's not the order
when
that it's meant
to the
here.
Kitchen. I'm
not
like,
in
what?
The order.
Okay. Question number three. Someone who always makes you smile. Mm.
Someone who always makes me smile.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Oh,
no, girl. I wish, no. Someone who always makes me smile. Always. I would have to say Neve, who's my drummer.
Aww.
She is the funniest girl. Every time, like, she posts something on Instagram, I'm laughing. Every time we're together, she makes me laugh. Okay. So I would say Neve.
Good.
Okay, yeah. Perfect.
Shout out to Neve.
Shout out, Neve.
Hey, Neve. Favorite song ever?
Favorite song ever?
Oh, that's difficult. Yeah. That's a tough one.
That is tough.
The song that just, you no matter when or where you are when you hear it, you instantly feel... Yes.
Okay. It's going to be too hard to probably give us one. As a musician, I think maybe you have a world of choice out there. So just something that you love.
Okay. Something that I do love and I sing with confidence is No Scrubs by TLC.
Oh. And do you know all the words?
A little bit. I don't want your number, no. I don't want to give you mine, and no. I don't want to meet you, no, and no. Don't want none of your time.
Yes!
Yes. Oh, yeah. Didn't expect
Chills.
That.
No Scrubs.
Wow, love it.
That's a good tune. Yeah. Good choice.
Your go-to girl, always.
My go-to girl?
Yeah. So the girl they always pick up the phone to. You're not going to believe what's happened.
Liliana. My girl Liliana. I take her everywhere.
Yeah.
She's like my partner in crime.
And who is she to you? Just a best friend?
She's like a good, good friend. Okay. I met her when we were in uni and like we've just been... Friends for life.
And is she that girl that you can text, you can call? Yeah. No judgment, no...
No like, judgment, no nothing. She is that girl.
Okay.
So, uh-uh.
Oh, there was an incident. We'll move on. Okay, if you hadn't been a singer, what do you think you'd be doing now?
I'd probably be working in events as an events coordinator. I love organizing things. I'm actually really good at, like, if I'm traveling, like, I have everything sorted beforehand.
Really?
So I,
I've never met one of you.
Oh my God. You
strange alien.
She actually needs you in her life.
Definitely.
If you need to go on a holiday, I got you. Like, I'd be like, or I know when the taxi's coming to pick me up. Nice. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm sleeping. I know what's around so we can go eat out. Like, I'm really
I love that.
Yeah.
You're the organizer friend.
Yes, I am the organizer. Ugh. So I would definitely say I'll be an events org.
Okay.
I like that.
Yeah. Still kind of in the same realm. Like, you wouldn't be leaving the kind of media arts completely. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Okay. The place that you always go back to.
The place I always go back to.
Whether that be in your mind or physically.
Well, I mean, we don't need to be that philosophical, to be honest. Just like, you know, a place,
the place
that makes you happy.
I always go back to, which is really bad for me.
Why?
Is
Gourmet
Burger. Do you know why? Do you know why?
Why?
Because they have the best Oreo milkshakes.
Oh,
you do you get watermelon there as well?
No. But it would be amazing. Like, I'd give it like a 20 out of 20 if they had watermelon soup. But Oreo milkshake and gourmet burger all the time.
The dramatic pause really got me there. I was like, where is she going to tell us now? Oh my God.
What is she going
gourmet
to say?
Burger.
Gourmet
burger.
I was expecting Lanzarote.
See, I should have said a place. But a place, I would say London. I'm always in London.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love London.
Yes.
Great city.
Yeah. Okay. The highlight of your career so far.
The highlight of my career is, would be, that's a good one.
There's probably been so many though, even the last year alone, me looking back at, say, your just your social media and what you've done, like, incredible. How can you even pinpoint one? But give us a couple if you like.
Okay, I'll give you a couple.
She was just waiting to be asked.
I would say Irish Song of the Year nomination the first time for Love No More.
Yeah.
That was a highlight. I can't think of anything else. Oh yeah, playing Electric Picnic the first year as well. That was that was the highlight. And most recently, Love Tonight being the biggest Irish song by an Irish female. This year.
Yes, that we were talking about that as well. Yeah. Oh my gosh. When you hear news like that as well, how does that make, like, what do you do? Do you just freak out? Do you have a moment where you're like,
Or
do you just stop?
The Love Tonight being the biggest song by an Irish female.
That's incredible.
You know, in the country this year was probably the, like, yeah, that was
you can't really
that
top
moment.
Yeah, it was weird because like I didn't know when you don't know it's coming either. Mm. Like I wasn't expecting it. It was just, you know, Irish Charts just put it out, and I was like, huh?
Yeah.
And it took me like every time, even right now, if you were to show me that tweet,
yeah,
I would just like I just get butterflies, and I'm just like, what? Like, and I think what the funny thing about it is, it kind of makes me want to be better.
Yeah.
Like I'm weird. Like instead of me kind of living in that moment, I'm kind of like, I need to do. Like I need to keep going. Mm. I need to like, you know, the next song has to be better than Love Tonight. Yeah. I'm like, yeah. But my manager is always like, yo, you need to chill. Like, you need to just live in the moment and do you. Even if the next song doesn't blow as well as much as Love Tonight did, it doesn't matter. Like, just keep going. You just don't stop. But yeah, yeah, that's what.
But I for some reason, I don't think you'll have an issue with that, because I find you're enjoying what you do so much that even like working on the next thing and wanting to do the next best, like that's probably like you're getting a lot of enjoyment out of that.
Yeah,
like
definitely.
It's not stressful. You're like, I just want to do better, you know, I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that either.
It's mad because I think people that aren't musicians and aren't like, don't record and don't do all that think it's like, oh, you guys are just having fun. And but it's like when you're in the studio, everything is so like meticulous. You have to like, does this make sense? Like, does that line even make sense? Mm. Sometimes you're writing lyrics and you're like, does that make sense? Like, you know, it's like your English teacher's in your head. Like, girl, where's the full stop? Like, where's the comma, you know?
Yeah.
But no, it is hard. Mm. But I think we as musicians and as artists, we have to make a conscious decision to make sure that we're having fun before like anything else. Because sometimes it's like, oh, the next thing has to bang. We have to do this. But it's like, it's not always like that. Just be creative and just go to the studio and have fun. You know?
In the moment.
Lovely advice. Yeah.
I know you mentioned your mama, and that's incredible. Mm-hmm. But what about the girl you always look up to?
The girl I always look up to. The girl I always look up to. I'm trying to think now.
You probably have a lot
friend.
Of girls in your life, though, as well.
It could be a fellow artist, somebody that you just think, wow,
I admire your work.
Yeah, and what you do. And I suppose it's like, seen somebody that's on the same wavelength as you and really respecting that.
Oh, I can't think. I actually can't think.
Should
of
we
anyone.
Get you some Oreos and watermelon? Would that help you think?
I feel like because you said Rihanna, I feel like she's probably the woman you probably hone in on, especially when it comes to your art, because she is so creative and all her work is out there. So I kind of feel like that's probably your Rihanna answer
it's
there.
Yeah, I can't think of anyone else. I think if anything, if it was be like in the kind of my peers and stuff, I think all the women who do music in the Irish music industry, I kind of look up to as well, because like we are all we have that kind of way. So I think the work ethic on everyone's part is amazing, and that's what I look up to. If anything, kind of like everyone's in the studio, you're kind of like, oh snap, I need to be in the studio. When you see Erica Cody's in the studio like killing it, I'm like, I need to be in the studio. Like it's like, it's one of those things. So I'd say, to answer that question, I'd say all the women in the Irish music industry.
Deadly. Yeah. I gotta say, obviously International Day of the Girl, and we are celebrating all things girl, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for
having
me. Before
I ask you the last quickfire round, which obviously wasn't that scary, and I feel like we learned an awful lot about you, and still we're not going to judge. But the advice that you would give your teenage self, if you were to look back now and think, I wish I'd known this, or I wish I'd thought about things differently, what would you look back and say to yourself now?
I would say, don't try and be like anybody else.
Yeah.
Accept you for who you are, and that is your best selling point, is you being you.
Yeah,
I would say that. Yeah,
that's such a powerful message, because I think so many young girls think they have to be someone else and have to, you know, look like someone, and it's hard.
Oh, so
especially
hard.
When you're seeing all these pictures of perfection.
Exactly.
I remember struggling with it myself. Who am I? What, you know? And then because you don't know who you are and you're so vulnerable at that time, you start to think, okay, well, I must be like this person then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those lessons you kind of have to learn over a period of time.
Because when I first started, I was like, oh, I want to be like Whitney Houston. I want to be like, but it's like, you don't want to be like Whitney Houston. You don't want to be like Rihanna. You don't want to be like Beyonce, because they have their own struggles. So when you say you want to be like somebody else, like, you have to take on whatever they're struggling with. Mm. And when you actually find out what it is, you wouldn't want that. You know, it's one of those things I'm kind of like, you, like, what you're going through is what you're supposed to go through for you to get to wherever you're supposed to get.
That's
so even
journey.
If you don't end up being this mega star, but you can say, I had an amazing experience. I've played gigs, I've traveled, I've experienced crazy things through music. And even though I didn't get to this mega stardom, at least I've had a fulfilling life, you know, through that, one of those things. So,
wow, how have you got it all so figured out in your 20s? What is wrong with my life?
Early 20s at that. I'm sitting here going, I'm questioning everything.
Sweating.
Everything. But thank you so much for chatting
to
us. You've been amazing. And look, keep up the good work. Keep being that inspiration, because we need more positive young women like
you
out
so
there.
Much. Thank you for such a great interview. That was fun.
You are
the questions.
An honorary.
I love the questions. You guys are super. Like, I love how you guys thought everything on. I think that's amazing. So
I look up
to you guys too.
Oh, good answer,
guys.
But come here. I gotta say, you are now officially. We'll get you a plaque or something. An honorary third member of Girl Talk. Okay.
Yes. All on you. Thank you so much, Soleil. It was a pleasure. And don't forget to like, subscribe, and if there's anyone you want us to talk to or any topics you want us to discuss, it's girltalk@beat102103.com. Thanks, girls.
Thank you.
Girl Talk, a Shine special with the Shona Project and Make Sense.